when you hear that music, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms in this soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we take the Psalms, the hymnal of the Jewish faith, and we walk through the Psalms with kind of a Christological perspective. How do we see ourselves and our lives in light of Christ and our faith by looking at the Psalms, which we pray at every single Mass? Well, today we're going to start looking at Psalm 81. So Psalm 81 is in Book 3 of the Psalms at 73 to 89, and 73 to 83 are written by Asaph. So Asaph means gather. And we're going to look at Psalm 81. The prescript is the entire first verse. Very simple. It says, for the choir master. So that means that Asaph wrote the psalm and then gave it to the choir master to put music to. And it also says upon the gittith. So a gittith is an ancient lap harp of God. So it's like, you know those huge, massive harps? Well, this is one that actually fits in your lap. It's a much smaller version that fits in your lap. You play it that way. We also see the same instrumentation in Psalm 8 in Book 1 of the Psalms written by David, that same instrument, the gittith. And it says, of Asaph, right, which means gather in Hebrew. And it starts in verse 2. Sing joyfully to God our strength. Shout in triumph to the God of Jacob. So I love the way this psalm starts, which is praising God. In fact, singing joyfully to God. Why? Because these psalms were meant to be sung. Again, you know, in God's promise, I picked this psalm, not even thinking about the whole music theme that we're kind of talking about today. But again, it starts to sing joyfully. So clearly, these are psalms were meant to be sung for one purpose, for the honor and the praise and the glory of God. St. Augustine once said, he who sings prays twice, right? So beautiful. And we see in Book of Revelation, the choirs of angels singing and honoring and praising God, the cherubim and the seraphim and the other seven levels of angels, all honoring and praising God forever around the altar of his throne, forever in heaven. And it continues in verse 3, raise a song and sound the timbrel, right? So the timbrel is kind of like, what a timbrel today would be kind of like, what is that, the instrument I'm thinking of? We talked about it yesterday on the show. Not maracas, but, it'll come to me in a second. The sound of the timbrel, the sweet sounding harp and the lute, right? So the lute is kind of like a mini guitar. Right, you see those often minstrels playing them in those medieval kind of sword play kind of movies, like from King Arthur. You see the lute. So, in this psalm, we have beautiful singing and instrumentation. Blow the trumpet at the new moon when the moon is full on our feast. Why? Because back then they followed a lunar calendar, right? So here in this first few verses of the psalm, the prescript, we have instrumentation upon the gittith. We have singing. We have the timbrel. We have the harp, the lute, and the trumpet, all within the first three verses of the psalm, right? So again, music, instrumentation, very important. And moon is full on our feast. Right. So they sung these songs during some of the feasts. Like, what are some of these feasts? In the gradual Psalms, Psalms 120 to 134, there were three feasts that were celebrated then. There was a feast of Pentecost, a feast of unleavened bread, or the Passover, the feast of Pentecost, or the feast of weeks, which is the wheat harvest, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, which is the fall grape harvest, right? So during these times of harvesting, of plenty, of gathering, you know, they sung these songs of praise to God for all the things that they received from the Lord. And it continues, for this is a statute in Israel, right? And I have to look up that word in Hebrew, because the word statute there, or law there, it doesn't mean like the Ten Commandments, like Aseret Haribot in Exodus chapter 20. It actually doesn't say Ten Commandments. It literally in Hebrew says the 10 words of God, right? The word commandment was used was is mitzvah. So like bar mitzvah, you become a son of the commandments. The 613 laws were called mitzvah. So I'm wondering if this that the same word here, statute, is a derivative of that word. I have to look that up. A command of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree for Joseph when he went out from the land of Egypt. All right. So as they're talking about a decree for Joseph. So as Joseph, you know, the brothers tried to throw him into the well, and he became a leader in Egypt. And but he went out remembering the honor and the praise that was due to the Lord. Right. So he brought these things with him when he went into this exile period. And that's important for us to remember, too, when we're moving to a new place, so someplace strange or around, or when I travel to another country, not familiar with the culture, you know, we bring things that are familiar with us. And the things that we should bring with us, most of all, no matter where we go, is our faith, our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. The situation may change around us. The people may change around us. The circumstances may change around us. But one thing that doesn't change is our deep and abiding faith in Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. All right, it's a beautiful lesson here. A voice I did, it continues in the second part of verse 6. A voice I did not know said to me, I freed your shoulder from the burden. Your hands were freed from the builder's basket. Which is actually an accurate translation from the Hebrew. The previous version said, I freed your shoulder from the load, right? Which, I mean, you can imagine that, free your shoulder from the load. But here it says builder's basket, all right? Which is more Jewish and actually more accurate translation from the Hebrew. You called in distress and I delivered you. Ah, see? Because when we call upon the name of the Lord, when we honor, praise, and glorify our God, he will take the load off our shoulders. He will help to shoulder our burdens. We don't carry the cross alone. Jesus carried his cross alone. Well, he had help, Simon of Cyrene. But he carried that cross, the burden of our sins, he took it to the cross. And he's still willing to help take the burden off of our shoulders. When we call in distress, he will deliver us. And how did he deliver us? By sending his son, the perfect sacrifice, because he was both priest and victim, the perfect priest and the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice, the new and eternal covenant. I answered, concealed in the thunder. At the waters of Meribah, I tested you. So Meribah and Massa means trial and testing. Remember, that's the place where they just came out of the Red Sea, and they take a few steps in the desert. All of a sudden, they're complaining, we got no food, we got no water, what are you doing? It's better for us to stay slaves in Egypt. Like, what? You know, so he said, I tested you. Listen, my people, as I warn you. O Israel, if only you would heed. So Asaph is telling us, look, don't forget that God is always with us. He's the one that will deliver us. He's the one that will free us from the burden. So when things get difficult, don't lose hope. Don't become disheartened. Because it says that the waters of Meribah, I tested you, right? Just like he tested Job. If you've been going to Mass for the past couple of weeks, we've been hearing from the book of Job, how Job was tested. And through that trial and through that testing, Meribah and Massa in Hebrew, he came, he never lost his faith in God.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.